Our story begins in June of 2021. 22-year-old Gabby Petito and her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, decide to embark on a cross-country trip leaving from their home in Northport, Florida. They decided to travel in Gabby's white Ford van all the way to the West Coast and along the way visit state and national parks across the western United States. They were both very excited about this trip and planned to document their travels via social media and on their YouTube channel. Their travels appear to be going well for nearly 2 months as they chronicle their visits to national landmarks via Instagram. However, on August 12th, a domestic dispute between the two attracted the attention of witnesses in broad daylight in a small town in Utah, which prompted a 911 call and led to an encounter with police. After the police advised them to spend the night apart from each other and sent them on their way, over the next 3 weeks, there seemed to be a steady stream of communication between Gabby and her family. On August 24th, Gabby FaceTimes her mother and tells her they are leaving Utah and headed to the Teton Range in Wyoming. Over the next 6 days, there continued to be communication between Gabby and her mother. However, one of the texts was described by her mother as simply being odd. And on August 30th, her mother received her last text from Gabby. It simply read, "No service in Yosemite." 2 days later, Gabby's white Ford van pulls into the garage of the couple's Northport home, where Brian's parents also lived. However, Gabby was not in the van. Brian returned alone. After 10 days of not being able to get in touch with Gabby, her family, who lives in Long Island, New York, reported her missing to the Suffolk County, New York Police Department. Authorities in Northport, Florida then go to Brian Laundrie's home that night and ask to speak to him and his family. However, at that point, the Laundrie family had already hired an attorney who spoke on their behalf. And that was the extent of our conversation with them, say police. Brian was eventually named a person of interest. However, his whereabouts are currently unknown. His family claims that he left the home only wearing a backpack to travel to the Northport Nature Reserve nearby. Days later, in Wyoming, the Teton County Coroner confirmed the discovery of human remains at the Bridger-Teton National Forest, and they belonged to Gabby Petito. And we are back. It has been a long time. I am so happy.
It's been a while.
To see Allie and Tiffany.
Yay.
Sitting across the table from me. And
feels good.
Yeah, this is the case that dragged us out of retirement. Was the case that is international news now that we're going to talk about here in a bit. This is a bit of an impromptu episode. This is not the episode, the topic that we had scheduled for today. But given that this is such a hot topic and we know everybody's talking about it, we figured we might as well talk about it too. By the way, this is our 50th recorded episode.
What?
Yes.
All right.
It is not our 50th published episode. There are actually episodes that are not on the website or on Spotify for various reasons. But this is our 50th.
You're not allowed to hear them.
Recorded episode. Yeah. Yeah, some of those were like we did one for that horror documentary.
Oh yeah,
that I don't know if it ever came out or not.
I don't even remember. Was I a part of that? I don't remember.
No,
I don't think you were here yet.
Yeah, Tiff was okay. Still living in Jersey when we did that. So this is our 50th episode. So I want to thank everyone who still we see that. I know we haven't done content in a few months now because of real life. I don't not that disquietude isn't real life, but
yeah.
But our lives outside of disquietude have kind of forced us away from it. But we're back now. And I want to thank everyone who continues to listen and support all the emails and messages on Facebook they get from guys and gals. Hey, when are you guys still recording? Blah, 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 whatever. Also, we launched a YouTube channel, Disquietude Stories. Search it. It features some narrated stories from some of our subscribers and listeners. So if you have any stories that you'd like to tell us, please do not hesitate to send them our way and we will feature them on our YouTube channel. So Gabby Petito, ladies, This is crazy, huh?
I mean, it goes deep.
Yeah.
It gave me... Oh, go ahead. I'll let you
no,
say what you
got. No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say it gave me... what's dude's name? I forgot his name that quick. Chris Watts vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Especially yeah, but when...
Was, but here's the thing. He did more to cover up what he did.
Mm-hmm.
This guy... I'm sorry. Okay.
Who is Chris Watts? Why am I not?
Killed his family.
He killed his two daughters his and his wife.
Strangled him.
This It'll, is not... I have really bad memory. I'm
this
sorry.
Happened kind of
fairly
recently.
In the last five, 6 years maybe.
Huh.
Oh, okay. We'll have to catch
yeah.
you up
yeah,
well, afterwards.
Well,
sorry. Yeah. sorry, listeners. I have bad
but,
memory.
But, you know, if Tiff and her boyfriend, like, hey, we're going on a cross-country trip. And he come back and you don't.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what? Like,
hey, bro.
And then he's like, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm lawyering up.
No.
I'm like, wait a minute.
We fighting right then and there. But that, you know, as I said in the intro, that's essentially what happened. They went on a cross-country trip. He came back by himself. Of course, the family got suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't even reported missing until the next day, 2 days after.
Who reported her?
No,
her
no,
or her family.
His timeline was that he appeared in Florida around September 1st, and then she wasn't reported missing until the 11th.
Right.
And that's because I don't think they were aware that he had, her parents weren't aware that he had come home. And then after they realized, they started trying to get in contact with him and get in contact with his parents. And what's fucking foul about his parents is that they've, you know, spent holidays together as, you know, two families together.
Well, they were, yeah, they were living with her parents.
His parents. She was living with Brian and his parents, and they had shared, like, they had converged for holidays in years prior, and then they just won't even respond to her parents. Like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah,
because his parents know
that. Well, the rumor is that they've helped him escape to Mexico. We'll get to that a little bit later as we go down on the timeline. This all starts back in June. They decided they wanted to go west, and they were gonna from Florida, and they were going to visit state and national parks, you know, along the way. And they ended up in Colorado and Utah, and that's where things start to get kind of weird. You know, they posted that they were on Instagram. They posted that they were at the Great Sands Dune National Park and Preserve in Duncan, Colorado. And then 2 weeks later, they posted another photo from the Mystic Hot Springs in Monroe, Utah. So they were, I mean, they have been gone at this point over 2 months. And then in August 12th, that was the first box of red flags at the Red Flag Factory.
Yeah.
August 12th, police in Moab, Utah, reported responding to an incident that involved a domestic dispute between Petito and Laundry. Have you guys seen the video of that?
I didn't watch the video. I did see the witness... like recount.
Okay.
I watched like parts of it. It was kind of long and I didn't have the energy to sit and watch it. So
I'm going to play it for the listeners. We'll play it here in a minute. But the video, they released a 911 recording.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I'll play that as well. The caller claimed now the 911 call did not come from them. This was a witness who claimed that he saw Brian Laundry slapping Gabby Petito and chasing her up and down a sidewalk in Moab, Utah, hitting her. And in the recording of the call, the person who called, their name has not been released to the media, said he saw the apparent domestic dispute unfold in Main Street in Moab between a young couple driving a white van with Florida license plates. The caller said, we drove by the gentleman and the gentleman was slapping the girl. Then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He hit her, hopped in the car, and then drove off. Police said they responded to the incident, located the van, pulled him over. And then the video is the body cam footage, which I will play now.
Grant County Sheriff's Office.
Were you able to get a description of the intoxication?
Hi, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, I'm calling. I'm right on the corner of Main Street by Moonflower, and we're driving by, and I'd like to report a domestic dispute. Florida with a white van, Florida license plate, white land, gentleman, about 5'6" beard. They just drove off. They're going down Main Street. They made a right onto Main Street from Moonflower.
Or what were they doing?
Cooperative, but what did you say?
What were they doing?
We drove by, and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
Okay, you said it's a white van?
White van. I give you the license plate. Just give me one sec. I took a picture of it.
What kind of white van? Like a big one?
It was a smaller van with the license plate of, it was white, Florida license plate. It was, the make was a Ford, model was Transit, black ladder on the passenger side.
Black ladder, passenger side.
White Ford Transit.
White Ford Transit. Okay, what's your name? And where did they, so they turned, they headed south on Main Street from Moonflower Market?
Correct, they made the right turn.
Oh, so they went north?
North, yeah, sorry, I'm not from around here.
Okay, you're right there by the post office?
Right across the street, yep.
Okay, and when they turned onto Main Street, they went right or left?
Right.
Right, so they went north. North on Main. All right, I will let somebody know. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Bye.
What's your guys' names?
Gabby.
I'm Brian. Gabby, Brian, okay. What's going on? How come you're crying?
I'm sorry, we've just been fighting this morning. Some personal issues. I don't know, it's just, some days, I have really bad OCD. And I was just cleaning and straightening up back of the amphitheater, and I was apologizing to him and saying, I'm sorry that I'm so mean, because sometimes I have OCD and sometimes I can get really frustrated. Not like mean towards him, I just like, I guess my vibe is like, I'm like in a bad mood. And I'm trying to start a blog. So I've been building my website, so I've been really stressed. And he doesn't really believe that I could do any of it. So that's kind of been like a, I don't know, he's like down there. I don't know, we've just been fighting all morning.
But you tend to have a lot of anxiety and stress?
I have a lot of anxiety.
And what's his name? Is it Brian? Is he usually pretty patient with you?
Yeah, but I guess it just makes me upset. I know that he definitely gets frustrated with me a lot.
And my feet are dirty and everything, so I think our little squabble started because we were hanging out at the coffee shop, and when I got back to the van, there was some dirty stuff. Damn. We weren't physical before the point where I said, all right, let's just take a breather and like, walk away for a minute. I'll lock the van up, and I'll go for a walk this way, and you can go walk that way on the block.
So you push her, and she hit you?
She was, it wasn't like a push, and she jumped on me. She was already, I don't want to, she was already swinging, and I was pushing.
Cool. Yeah.
A lot of angles, a lot of nails, a lot of things.
Yeah, you got it. Who's scratching your neck? You got one on the left side of your neck. You got one in the face here, and you got four blood feet.
You're going to be taking the van tonight, and you're going to go somewhere else. I am going to get him lined up for the hotel room tonight. I want you guys to stay away from each other. For both of you guys the same. From what you told me and what he told me, you guys have a bunch of little things that are building up, building up, building up, and finally the little string that you guys were tight walking on for later tonight. Does that sound about right?
So in the footage, she's crying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in the van. Like, police officers respond to domestic incidents all the time. That's like a super common thing. And mm-hmm. I gotta think that the police know something is amiss here. I kind of feel like I don't want to admonish the officers for their in action, because I mean, honestly, what really could they have done?
Right.
Especially if she doesn't want to press charges.
Right.
Which the abused almost never does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's funny when you think about cases in which young women are killed by either domestic partners or by serial killers, whoever, they're always this close to getting out of the situation.
Yep.
Always this close, you know.
what struck me about that situation is reading, I guess, the officer's statement and how the officer said, like, they both have anxiety or whatever, and she was afraid that he was going to leave her in the middle of the desert or whatever and just drive off without her. And I'm like, why would that thought even occur to her if he never threatened her with that?
Right.
You know?
And the story they told the cops was that she hit him.
Which they said he had scratches on his
face. Yeah, and then they both said that he didn't hit her, which...
I feel like that's common sometimes too.
That's very common.
Yeah.
They had their little story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you see when, after they talked to her and then went back to the van, he was like, so did you guys talk to Gabby already? Like, almost right, like he was trying to see, did you guys get her story?
Yeah, he was trying to gauge it.
Right.
And let's be honest here. This may not be fair, but would you call 911 if you saw a woman slapping a dude?
Not at all.
He'd be like, well, what the fuck did he do? Keep on driving. You know, so that leads me to believe that the people that called 911, you know, they didn't just make this shit up.
Right.
Yeah.
They was like, oh my God, he beating the hell out of her. Let me call the police.
Yeah.
And so, but the, you know, the cops are in a rock and a hard place at that point. You know, if the couple says, hey, you know, we're just arguing, leave us alone. Then the police leave alone. But just from what I saw in the video, that girl was
distraught.
Yes. She did not want to be back in that situation that she was in. And, you know, she was that close. If she could have been saved at that moment, we wouldn't even be having to record this episode. And it's just, that just kind of irks me about every case like this. The killer... and this is, let's be clear here. I'm guilty. I'm doing guilty before proven innocent here when it comes to Brian Laundrie, because I mean, it's come on, guys. It's obvious. either he didn't do anything and he's just scared.
Right.
And, you know, he thinks that the police are going to pin it on him and that's why he's being so elusive, or he did that shit and he's just trying to get the fuck out of here. It's one of those two things. And based on what we absolutely know, domestic violence incident, I'm inclined to think that he did it.
There were two things that, and I only like lightly followed this story until they basically, well, I'm not going to, we'll get to it. I only lightly followed what was going on, but it was the domestic abuse incident that made me think, oh yeah, I know exactly what happened. And then someone tracked down their shared Spotify where he had made a playlist and she had made a playlist. And it was very like innocuous. One was called like Mountaintop, which is, he made that one. And then she made one that was like Mellow Yellow or something. And then on September 1st, the day that he's going back to Florida, he had made some fucking playlist called Self Consumption. Ooh. And I was like, oh, that motherfucker did that shit.
Internet sleuth.
So it's funny how I think what makes this case different than other cases, because I've already seen the narrative. Why is this case getting so much attention? Mm-hmm. There are other people, particularly people of color, that end up missing after domestic violence disputes and, you know. Okay, I understand that. But I think the difference here is that the social media presence of these two. You know, I guess she was known from Instagram and TikTok. He had a YouTube channel called Nomadic Static, and on August
19th. Well, it only has one.
You know, yeah.
But that video has over 2 million views.
Of course
views
it's got. Yeah, I was going to say. He
getting paid already.
I hope he has monetization.
Right.
You know, he uploaded a video, Van Life, Beginning Our Van Life Journey, uploaded. So I think that's why. When there's a lot of stuff that the media and people like us can sink their teeth into.
Right, yes.
Because a lot of times when people go missing, like, that's it. They vanish into thin air.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of meat, except, you know, her boyfriend used to beat her up, and then she disappeared. This has a lot of breadcrumbs on the trail. And I think that that's why a lot of people,
especially because they like their Instagram, they documented everything up until that point, really.
Correct,
like
right.
pictures. And even if you look at his Instagram, which not that I feel sorry for him, but I'm like, dang, if he check his notifications, they're like blown. Cause like people are going back to like, cause he has pictures of them together from like last summer. Like, oh, the best person I've ever met in my life.
And people and I just pulled it up. People are like, you
motherfucker. Right. People are going in on all of his pictures.
So, this reminds me of, I think I told you guys about it. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on air, but, there was a girl I grew up with. Her name was Jessica Lee. Well, we went to elementary and middle school together. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We used to play together all the time. And, I found out, this was sometime last year, I think, that she had gone missing. Actually, I found out that she was dead. And then I contacted another childhood friend of mine. And, hey, I heard about Jessica. I haven't Jessica. And, you know, he told me that she had been found dead. So I did some research. And she had been missing for not a very long time, for about a week or so. And prior to that, her and her boyfriend had been having some very public, relationship issues. And it just so happened that on, I believe it was her birthday, you know, she had not been found yet. Somebody made a post from her account, essentially talking about how much, it was obviously him talking about how much she loved him. And
what a fucking asshole.
Yeah, and of course, social media just descended upon this guy. Like, we know what you did. I can't believe you would have the da-da-da-da-da. Well, he didn't do it. It ended up not being him. She actually got in a car accident, and her car had gone off of you know how here in North Carolina we have essentially they're almost like these ravines off the side of the freeway.
It was like a culvert.
She had just gone into one of those ditches and had died in the accident, and just found her until one day somebody noticed, hey, is that a truck over her? She was in her truck. And at this point, it had been like a week.
But that fucking narcissist.
But that guy, yeah.
Right.
That guy. So, you know, that's what people see with Brian Laundrie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hold up, bro. You all on social media. Although, to be fair, since the day she disappeared, he hasn't been anything.
Like I said, I hope he turned his notifications off.
But when you have a social media presence that people, like I said, that people can dig into, they're going to come after this guy. But August 24th was the last time that Petito was seen alive. They were seen leaving a hotel in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Nicole Schmidt, which is Gabby Petito's mother, said that she last spoke to her daughter on August 25th and had been told that they were leaving Utah and headed to Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. Her mother says she seemed to be in good spirits and she was excited to post the content on her YouTube channel. And then they said suddenly communication stopped. Says she got two text messages from Gabby's phone since, but there were no details or photos from the trip. So it's unclear whether Petito actually sent those messages.
Yeah, her mom said that she doesn't think that she did.
Because, no, I don't think so either.
Right, yeah.
And her last picture on her Instagram account was August 25th, but did not have a geotag location, which was odd considering all of the previous pictures on that trip had been geotagged. And by default, Instagram will attempt to geotag your location. That's something that you have to consciously disable. Why would you disable? Let's assume that was her. Why would she disable her location? Her whole point of this trip and putting on Instagram is so people know where she is and what she's doing. I don't think that was her. I think that was, we'll call him old boy. I'm just going to call him old boy. Old boy the rest of this podcast. The last 3 days of August, the federal and state authorities said that they believe that she disappeared near the Spread Creek dispersed camping area in Bridgerton National Forest in Wyoming. And then the FBI sought assistance from the public. And on the 29th, a potential witness said on a TikTok post that her and her boyfriend gave Brian Laundrie a ride in Grand Teton National Park on August 29th. She claimed that her and her boyfriend had been camping alone for days while Petito worked on their social media page from their van. So he was by himself, picked up by this couple, and said that he had been camping alone while his girlfriend worked on the social media page in their van. What sense does that make? Am I reading that right?
That, yeah, what the
hey, fuck? Hey, what are you doing by yourself? Well, you know, I've just been out here by myself for days, but my girlfriend, she's in the van.
Right.
Like, what? Maybe I'm... No, that's...
Out here for days? Were you drinking your own urine? Like, yeah. What?
In an interview later with ABC News, Baker said that when she told Laundry that they were headed to Jackson, he got out and he was thankful and he was kind of in a hurry. He said he was going to go across the street into the parking lot and find someone else to give him a ride. And he said, but when we looked back 10 or 15 seconds after he got out of the vehicle, he was gone. On September 1st, that's when Laundry returned by himself to Florida in the van.
The van that she was working in.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did he get a ride from... That's killer behavior. You know, killers, yeah. they do stupid stuff, especially people who have never...
Killed before.
Yeah.
Killed before.
The first time...
Here's my alibi. Right. Here's some witnesses.
Here's something that you out there in podcast land should know about killers. The first time is always sloppy. Always. Mm. I mean, I know it's funny, but when police go back... A lot of times, the reason that killers don't get caught is because they're first time sloppy. So please don't link that killing to later killings, which are much more methodical. By then, an MO has been established. The first time is always sloppy, normally because they either don't mean to kill, which is probably what happened here. I don't think it was his intent to actually be like, okay, I'm going to kill. I think they got in some kind of dispute.
Something accidentally happened. Right. He might have pushed her off a cliff like, oh shit.
Something that said to me that maybe he did think about it, and it's that around August 12th, when they had their dispute and they had to separate, he actually flew back to Florida, got a storage unit, and moved all her shit into the storage unit.
Mm.
Which is like,
flew back by himself?
Yeah.
And left her there?
Yeah. Like, around in that time
she took him to the airport in the van?
Yeah.
That's weird as fuck.
Right? Who does
that? You know what, though? Okay, so I used to live out in the West during most of my military career. I live in California, Las Vegas, and New Mexico. Spent 2 years in California. And when I say California, most people think about the sunny beaches in Los Angeles. No, I was stationed at Edwards Air Force Base, which is in the Mojave Desert. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And I was also stationed at Alamogordo, New Mexico, which is literally in the middle of nowhere. And Las Vegas is a big city in the middle of nowhere. And a lot of times I would drive to work, especially when I lived out in California, and I'm driving through the desert. And I would think to myself, and this is just because I'm a carb kind of guy, but I would think, wow, if somebody died and you left them out here, they would never be found.
No.
Like, if you wanted to kill somebody, this is where you would do it.
Yeah.
You could literally just throw somebody out in the desert somewhere out in the West. If you guys have ever, anyone who's ever traveled along Route 66, and if you haven't, I suggest you do, but there are long stretches of nothingness. I'm talking like... You ever see those like
in the movies?
And it's like, yeah, like 90 yeah. like last stop for gas for like 90 yeah. miles. That's real. Ooh. Those signs actually exist. And I mean, there's so much just open desert there to where if you thought, man, I really want to get rid of my girlfriend. We could take a trip out west. I'll just kill her and dump her body in the middle of one of these national parks somewhere where she'll never be found. You know what? I kind of like that that motive. I'll use that. Maybe it wasn't a crime of
opportunity. So August 17th to August 23rd, he was in Florida moving her shit into a storage unit.
Wait.
So how did they know this? Like, I guess. I mean, they have the flight information, obviously.
You said 17th?
August 7th. So after the altercation.
Yep. That would have been 5 days after.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days
before her last contact.
So well, the last time she was seen was on the 24th coming out of the hotel, though.
Yeah, but her mom, I think, had it was a FaceTime call with her on the 25th. So that's how she for sure knows she was alive on the 25th.
So that's just so odd. In the middle of this trip that you're taking out west with your, you know, your life partner, your significant other, you're like, hold up, you know what?
Pause.
Let me go back to Florida and move your shit up.
Let me fly all the way back to Florida. Yeah. I'm going to put your shit up and I'll meet you back out here.
Yeah.
What?
Right?
Yeah.
Does that not scream premeditation? Does it not? I'm going to go back. I'm going to throw her in the fucking desert. And when I get back home, I won't have to see any of her shit.
Okay.
But why go back and kill her? Why not just leave her?
Because you listen, there was something about digging into this research that really smacked of like narcissistic abuse. And even just going back to his older posts with her, like, oh, you're the love of my life, da, 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 da. Like just overly gushy.
I want someone to be overly gushy with me.
But there's a fine line. You get overly gushy and then you get possessive. And it's like, which one are you though? And like, I feel like this kind of smells like she was going to leave him or she was thinking about it. And there was like a rift building between them and he decided, nah, she's not going to leave me. She'll never have another dude.
At that point though, why not just break the trip? I mean, he could have killed her and then came back early and then and still done
right.
the same thing.
Why go back and move her stuff out?
Well, I guess maybe
first?
to
give it even more suspicious.
Okay, so here's the thing. People in social media land did not know that was happening. So if they didn't know, it would just simply appear that they were just on their trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were still doing their trip out west. No one would ever know that he flew all the way back to Florida, got rid of her stuff, and then came back. That's just so odd. That's why I think this case is grabbed the attention of the nation, is because there's just so many oddities here. So he wasn't actually named a person of interest until the 15th, which is 5 days ago from when we were recording this. Brian Laundrie's family stated he will remain silent. They immediately got him a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he has not been cooperative with authorities. His lawyers have advised him to shut up, which, you know, I side note. If you are ever being accused of a crime, shut up.
Yeah.
I know this from personal experience. Shut up. Even if you are completely innocent, shut up. Do not speak to the police. They are not your friends. They are not your friends. They will lie. They will do whatever they feel like they got to do to make it seem like you committed this crime. So, you know, I said that to say it sucks that he lawyered up and he's quiet now, because now the police can't beat it out of him what happened to Gabby. And unfortunately, we may never know.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of person where he might would take this stuff to his grave. Either that or his narcissism will overcome him. And once he realizes that there's no way he can get out of this situation, then he'll cop to it. Because the sad part is that he'll go to prison to be a superstar. You know how many women will write him and want to marry him?
Yes. God. How many women need therapy instead of a pen and paper?
When Richard Ramirez, the night stalker, went to prison, that very same thing happened to him. He became an overnight celebrity. Women sent him thousands of letters a month. He ended up actually marrying one of his fans, and she only divorced him because she found out he was a pedophile. You know, that was the final straw. You know, not the murdering of,
not beating an old woman to death with a hammer.
Yeah, yeah. Not stomping a woman so hard it left a shoe print. And no, not that, that was fine. But the pedophilia was too much for her. So that's where we're essentially at today. The Gabby's family has asked, like Ali said earlier, has asked the Laundrie family to cooperate. They have refused to do so. I really, really hate to see this from families. And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not in that situation to where one of my children has potentially committed a heinous crime and I have to decide whether to protect him. But at some point, I feel like, okay, if one of my children, if that was my son in that situation and he claims that he's innocent, then I would say, okay, we have a lawyer. Let's cooperate with police. You don't speak to the police without your lawyer.
Yeah.
But you cooperate with them to help them find the truth. Because wouldn't you, you know, I would assume Brian Laundry wants to know what happened to Gabby Petito as well, right?
Well, as a compassionate person, if my son had his girlfriend living with us, came home without her, the first thing I would say, where the fuck's your girlfriend? Where'd she go? And then when the parents hit me up like, hey, where's my daughter? I'd be like, oh shit.
Let me ask my son. You know,
yeah,
like, I understand there's like this, we were talking about this with Luca Magnotta. You know, his mother to this day does not believe that he killed that man, even though there's literal video evidence. Yeah, literally a video of him doing it. She refuses to believe that. She believes he killed him, but you know, she thinks that he was forced to do so by I don't remember the guy's name, the made up guy,
the Serbian government,
something. But you know, I can understand why parents would be so.
I think it's just monsters create monsters, man. Like, they make excuses for them and they help them get to Mexico when they have a body count. Like,
I mean, if your son was a murderer, wouldn't you? Okay, even if you didn't want him to go to jail, morally, I just feel like you cannot protect that person.
Yeah.
Like, he killed somebody else's daughter. In my opinion, if you know, or you believe that he did it, that makes you just as culpable as him, in my opinion.
Right.
In fact, if they did help him escape to Mexico and the federal authorities find that out, I feel like his family should be brought up on criminal charges as well. I don't know what 100%. The aiding and abetting laws are for fugitives. Technically, he's not a fugitive because, you know, he hasn't been sentenced. You know, he hasn't even been charged. He's just a person of interest right now, which allows him to flee the country. But I'm very, very disappointed to hear that his family is.
So basically, if I kill somebody or if I'm in trouble, you're turning me in, is what I'm hearing.
It depends.
He said he's not ride or die.
He's not going to help me flee the country or anything.
What's your motive, Tiffany?
Right. Yeah. I know if Tiffany goes on a trip with her boyfriend and comes back by herself, I know the reason is sound.
Yeah.
You better not ask me any questions.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm like, okay. Apparently that trip didn't go well. Gabby's family released a statement via their lawyer, said all of Gabby's family want the world to know that Brian is not missing. He is hiding.
Ooh.
Gabby is missing. That's a very succinct, powerful statement to make right there. This guy didn't go missing. Even though he's hiding. That says a lot to me. Now, his family says the last time, this is what they told police, last time they saw him was on September 14th. He left with a backpack and told them he was going to the Carlton Reserve near their home in Northport, Florida.
That's it.
All right, son, have a good time.
They haven't talked to him since?
His family claims they haven't talked to him since.
Sounds suspicious to me.
Police say that his whereabouts are currently unknown. That sounds suspicious as hell, mainly because he had been a person of interest at that point for some time. About 2 or 3 days. And, you know, suddenly, you know, that's another thing. Like, you know, this thing is going on and your son says he's got a backpack for one. Like, he's not going to school. He's not, you know, he's not going to the library. And he said, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to the Carlton Reserve. Bye. You don't think that's, First of all, the story sounds fishy as fuck to me.
Don't they sound kind of like the Casey Anthony family? The Anthonys?
Ooh,
yeah.
They do.
Like, oh, no, we don't. You know, I know that his girlfriend's dead, but he wanted to go hiking again. Like, what the fuck?
Now, 2 days ago, the federal authorities decided to go investigate around the area where they believe that Gabby Petito disappeared. They actually discovered a double homicide in Moab, Utah.
Yeah, I saw that.
They said it was not related, which just goes to show how crazy the world is.
Mm. They're saying it's not related, but it was in the time frame that he and Gabby were separated.
Yeah, you know, and we know for a fact that serial killers will go somewhere else, like on vacation, and kill there.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they know.
Oh, also, there was, and it maybe it's a coincidence. I don't know why the police are saying it's not connected, but where one of the women who were murdered, where she works, he was there, like the same day that she was on staff. She worked at, and please forgive me, guys, I forget where it is. It was like, it sounded like a co-op that she worked at, and he went to the co-op that same day, like 24 hours before she was found dead.
Wow.
Hmm.
Oh, man, that's... You gotta... I'm gonna hope police at least looked into that. But based on what we at Disquietude know about the way cops investigate, they probably just said, nah, that's a coincidence, and brushed it out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't... Yeah, that's...
So the couple that was found murdered, they were, I believe, camping, and they had been texting friends that there was a creepy guy lurking around their campsite, and if anything happened to them, that they were murdered.
Shit.
And then they were found the next
day. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. How was that? Come on.
Yeah.
So here's where that is actually very important. His defense is, you know what they're going to say? Well, there was a murderer in the area.
Yeah.
Mm. Obviously, he killed Gabby, and our brave Brian escaped. He was just scared.
He's so scared.
That the authorities were going to blame him. But there's this crazy guy out there that's still out there. He killed two people. That's what's going to happen.
I would put trial. Money on the
yeah,
table
oh, yeah,
that
definitely,
you're
definitely.
Right.
So FBI came in. They had drones, canine units, bloodhounds. Actually, they were searching for Brian Laundry at the nature preserve in Florida, but the police said they were working off of a tip. However, they weren't able to find him there. They said they believe he's living off the grid, and given his knowledge of the area and his skills. What skills those are, I don't know, but that's what they said. Could enable him to live out there for months.
Bo staff skills.
Yeah, yeah. Nunchuck skills. So then September 19th, which is yesterday, they confirmed that a body was recovered at Bridger-Teton National Park. They released a statement that the human remains found were consistent with the description of Gabby Petito, but a full forensic ID has not been completed, nor has a cause of death been determined. No media contact with the family has been made since that discovery. And that's where we are currently. I mean, we've seen this movie a million times, haven't we?
Yeah. Actually, it's a guy I went to high school with. It was kind of a similar situation, except I'm not going to say he killed her because he claims his innocence. However, she was missing, quote unquote, and her family, I guess, told the police to go do a welfare check. They went to the house and he was like, oh, she's out of town. And then the police came back like maybe 2 weeks later and was like, hey, can we search the house? House smelled like Pine Sol and bleach.
Oh, hell no.
And she was upstairs in a bedroom dead.
Oh, hell
but
no.
But he claims, I didn't. It's just like one of those, like, and apparently the last time her family had heard from her was like early December. This was like after Christmas.
Ew.
This is this past year?
No, this happened 2010-ish.
So whatever, what happened to him?
He got 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Because he took a plea deal.
Wow. I'm really surprised they even offered him a plea deal.
I'm surprised he lived with a fucking body in his house for that long. Yeah, and
supposedly, not to change the story, but like supposedly the story I heard was friends came over, like people, he had people over, like other girls, like people over at the house. And people kept saying, what is that smell? Like there's a smell. They said he would not allow anybody to go upstairs. Wow. Then he tried to say, the stories that I've heard is that he said, you know, she died. They were during a sexual act.
Man.
Then he said he came home and she was dead. And the dog was dead, too, apparently, too. So,
the dog was involved in the sex.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So I don't know. So
the dog had a heart attack, too.
Yeah. So like you said, we've seen this movie a million times, but it was just like one of those situations like, wait, she was up there dead. But a lot of people were trying to say, oh, well, he might have panicked. And then just, but well, it's like, did you had people over and
that's not panic.
Well, no, when people kill, especially the first time, they try to maintain a sense of normalcy. You can't, you know, obviously he doesn't want anyone to know what he did.
Right.
So he can't appear as if anything is out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I'm just going to keep this body.
But in their situation, there was a history of domestic abuse. Like, and so they were supposedly separated during this time and stuff, but it kind of reminds, because I feel like with Brian, people might try to say, well, he panicked, you know, they may have gotten in a fight. He actually
history
killed
of
her
domestic abuse. Like I said, we've seen this movie over and over. I would be shocked if he didn't do it. I'm trying my best not to, you know, label right. him as the murderer, but I mean, come on.
It's just where all signs point to yes. It's like that's
I'm really interested in how because there's gonna be a trial. There's no doubt in my mind when the police find him, they're gonna charge him with murder. Especially since they found the body now, they're gonna charge him with murder. There's gonna be a trial, and Here's going to be the problem. So far, all of this evidence, all these signs is circumstantial. And I've said it many times on this show. A lot of people believe that circumstantial evidence is like no good. No, it's just circumstantial.
Right.
It's still evidence and it can still be presented in a trial. But is that going to be enough for a jury to say, well, without a reason, beyond a reasonable doubt, this guy did it. So if I'm on a jury based on what we're talking about this episode, I'm going to be like, yeah, he did it. But you and I know that in a court of law, the lawyers are going to throw all kinds of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, there was another killer operating in the same area. And we know that because two other people died in the same area.
Right.
And it wasn't my client who killed him because he's not on trial for that. So you can't say that he did that. You can't even hypothesize that he might have killed those two people because he's not on trial for that. It's not relevant. So we know there's another killer out there. So can you, on a jury, say with beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was my client and not this killer out there that's still on the loose in Moab, Utah? No, you can't. Yeah, no. You really can't. You're a jury. You can't be like, well.
As Allie would say, this smells very Casey Anthony-ish, too, because, I mean, trunk smelled like a dead body. She didn't report the little girl missing for however long. And, you know, she's walking around with the rest of us. So
with Casey Anthony, what ended up happening was that they realized she was backed into a corner. Like, it was obvious that her daughter had died somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey Anthony had tried to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
So they went from, that's why they essentially came out and said, okay, we tried to cover up her death, but we didn't kill her.
Right, right.
And the thing is, here's the reason that Casey Anthony got off. Because they couldn't prove she killed her.
Exactly.
The crime of covering up someone's death is not really a crime.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't. I mean, if someone in your family died in their bed tonight and you said, I'm just going to bury him in the fucking backyard, the police aren't going to arrest you for that. You know, they're not. You don't. You technically don't have to report. you know, someone's death to the police. We just do because
it's the right thing to do
for reasons, you know, well, logistical reasons. So that's why Casey Anthony got off, because they said her lawyer said, okay, you might have killed her, but can they prove that?
And that's what I feel like in this situation.
I think that would mean they might, their lawyers might say, you know what, they can't prove you did anything. Now,
unless something comes up later.
This is all speculation. And, you know, they're going to do a full autopsy, toxicology report. They're gonna determine how she died.
Right.
And if it looks like foul play, I think that lessens his chances of sleazing his way out of this. But if it's like, she might have fell off a cliff, and mm-hmm. some coyotes ate her. Okay, well, that might be a little different situation there. I don't know. I'm hoping that if it is him, he doesn't weasel his way out of
it. Yeah, I know. I know you say there's going to be a trial, but you know I can't wait for the documentary. Yeah. You know there's going to be one.
Oh, they're already fighting. Netflix, HBO, they're fighting right now.
But that's another common comment on his Instagram, see you in the next Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, shit.
Because I'm like, oh, you know it's coming. And I will be first in line to watch it.
All right, we're going to take a short break for a word from our sponsor, Anchor.fm. Disquietude, we'll be right back. And we're back. Disquietude, we're talking about the disappearance of Gabby Petito, which has been the hot topic in international news, even over the last few weeks here. So, you know, the first half of the show, we basically went through the timeline. And where we're at right now is Brian Laundrie, old boy, is missing. He's gone into hiding. There's a rumor that his family has somehow was able to get him to Mexico. The police were searching for him in northern Florida because that is where it was initially believed that he escaped to. And the body of Gabby Petit was recovered yesterday as of this recording, September 19th, in Bridgerton National Park.
You know what's something we hadn't considered, or at least I hadn't until this very second? He is out there at wherever in Florida. He could have just left to kill himself.
So that was my first thought.
Yeah.
Was he, because I think, you know, and of course, the more we talk about it, the more my view changes a little bit. But my initial thought was crime of passion. Like, you know, couples, we get into arguments. You know, it's been times I've dated someone and wanted to slap the shit out of them. But, you know, I have to leave and cool myself down. But, you know, they're in a van together.
Yeah.
Traveling, and you know, so that was my initial thought. And then maybe after he did it, he felt bad and told his parents, hey, I'm going here, and he just went to go kill himself.
I hope that's not the case, because I hate when killers do that.
Yeah, that's a pussy.
It's like, how cowardly. Yeah. Especially if he planned all this shit.
Yeah.
If you plan all this, and then you're like, okay, I got, you know, the heat is on me. I'm just going to go kill myself.
So in my research, it said the storage unit, they moved his stuff in there too.
Oh.
So even though it made it seem like they moved the stuff out, but I can't remember if it was they moved the stuff into the storage unit, but it said it was his stuff as well.
Hmm.
First so of all, hold
he
on.
Might have been planning to kill himself too. Yeah. Like, let me go ahead and get my stuff.
Is
out
his of. Family well off?
Because
I hate to like try and judge people based on, you know, appearances, but I didn't get the idea that his family was well off or hers. The reason I ask, where the hell they get all this money from to travel cross country?
Yeah,
which is not cheap, especially with gas prices being what they were this summer, in a van.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of that trip, you hop on a flight.
Yep. To Florida.
To Florida, and then come back. And in the interim, you're moving stuff in and out of storage. All that costs money.
Yep.
Where? Yeah. Where's my phone? That's just a Just an aside. I just think.
And I think she said she worked at like a juice bar or something. I don't know.
Are they one of these couples on House Hunters that like, I work at a juice bar and I'm a basket weaver and our budget is $3 million?
Right. Because I was going to say, I know a lot of times when people plan stuff like that, like I don't know that they just woke up June 1st and said, hey, let's take this trip. They may have been planning it for some time. And of course, if they're living with his parents, I mean, they may have really saved.
That's true.
For you that can't and save really that kind of money from a juice bar, though.
Maybe, though. If not paying rent, utilities. Right. Which actually, though, that's kind of fucked up. You're living with your parents. Because typically when you live with your parents is because, you need to get on your feet. You need somewhere stable where you can save money so that you can eventually be on your own. But instead of using that money to be on your own, you're like, you know, we're going to fucking take a cross-country trip.
We're going to spend a year in the West.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got the impression from just how involved her parents were, because there were times where they would like Uber them food and stuff like that. It's not just their money that's involved in this.
Right.
So I'm getting the impression that maybe they're both coming from middle class families, which they're, I think, originally from Long Island. Mm-hmm. And Long Island's a fucking expensive place to live. So maybe they have like at least.
That's true. Yeah. You're right. Long Island is very expensive. Even if for a middle class family.
Yeah.
Like
there's probably a modest amount of money there.
Probably. Yeah. And she's only 22. So she wasn't like established enough to really have a lot of her own money.
Yeah.
You know, a 22-year-old nowadays, especially you work at a juice bar. I don't know. I just think that's because when I'm reading this, I'm like, hold up, how the hell they travel like all cross country? That gets expensive. Food, just stopping, staying at hotels. Taking flights. It's kind of odd. Update as of an hour ago. They have completed the search of Brian Laundrie's family's home.
So right. I was going
to
ask.
So I guess after they didn't find him in North Florida, they got a warrant and the feds like, okay, we just coming to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what happens when you don't cooperate with the police.
They come bust up your shit.
They're going to get a warrant and they're going to come in your shit. So, the feds haven't released any details. They probably didn't find anything. They probably grabbed a bunch of shit and they're going to go back and look at it.
Especially if they weren't there for several months, like what exactly would you be finding?
Now, they did find, after they searched the van, they found an external hard drive that they say believe may contain viable digital forensic data that would assist in the location. And this is before they found the body. And that same digital forensics team was able to confirm that text, where it was essentially, that it came from her phone. It was, the text said, "Can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls."
Wait, what
the fuck?
It's a reference to Gabby Petito's grandfather, and her mother says she never ever refers to her grandfather as Stan.
Oh. Uh-oh. That was Brian.
First of, can you help Stan?
That's right.
Who the fuck is Stan?
Yeah. Right, that's why I was like, wait, what?
Okay, yeah, who calls their grandparents
by their first names?
Can you help Stan?
Even if
you'll
don't
be 50 years old calling it your Gigi.
Yeah, yeah. So most of us have like pet names for our grandparents. Right. At the very least, grandpa, my kids Stan. Call granddaddy something. Stan.
Can you
She texts her mom and said, what?
Yeah, the text read, "Can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls."
Which, why is he?
What is that?
That's creepy as fuck that he's sitting there holding her phone like that, too.
Yeah.
Why does he care?
As we said, killers, their first time.
Right.
If this was his first time, they're sloppy. And they're also stupid. This was stupid. This is when you overthink the murder. Not that I've ever murdered anyone, but I've been hosting this podcast for long enough to where I feel like I know a little bit about the game.
Like if you're gonna send a text from somebody's phone, sound like them.
Yes.
Think about
this is
she wouldn't call her grandfather.
Like, okay,
Stan.
Yeah. Okay. Her family has to feel like she's still alive. So I'll send her mom a text. I know.
Also, like you said, if this is your first time killing, you're not thinking straight.
No, you're not. Yeah.
He probably has a lot of anxiety.
He probably calls Gabby's grandfather
exactly.
Stan.
Right.
So he's like, just give Stan a call, like.
Stan. Her mom was probably like,
all,
what?
First of all, can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls. Help him with what? Most people
she's getting his voicemail.
Hey, can you call Stan, granddad, or whoever, you know, I tried calling granddad and he wasn't picking up. Whatever. You know, okay, that might not be as odd, even though I would kind of think that that's kind of weird. But can you help Stan? I keep getting his voicemail.
So was this before or after? What was the last text they said they got?
So this text was sent on August 27th. This was 2 days after the FaceTime and 3 days after the last time she was seen alive.
Yeah.
Mm.
So imagine you talk to your daughter, or in your case, your son. And then 2 days later, you get a weird text. Can you call Stan? I haven't heard from you in 2 days. That's what right. I get from you.
That'd be like my son being like, was calling.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's like, who is this? Here's the thing. Like, that kind of evidence probably won't, I don't even think the prosecution will even throw that in there. It's mainly because it's such a, it doesn't mean anything.
Stan.
That is less than circumstantial evidence because that text, it came from Gabby's phone, right? The defense is going to say it came from her phone, right?
But if they got her metadata and say that text was somewhere.
What they would have to do is prove the time and day of her death.
Yeah.
Mm. Which here's
if she's been in the sun.
Yeah, here's the dirty truth about that. Coroners, they have to make shit up. There's no way that you can approximate someone's death, you know, based on the physiology of the corpse at the time, but I don't think that they could accurately say she was dead on August 27th, considering they found her on September 19th.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way that.
Yeah. They may be able to, like you said, say, oh, it happened between this date and this date.
They can, they can probably give a time.
It would be too, they would essentially have to say, yep, she died on the 25th and this text came on the 27th for them to use that as really any kind of viable evidence. And I don't think they'll be able to do that. And so I think that's just going to be one of those throwaway kind of things to us. Because, and plus, we don't know the situation. If you recall when we did the episode on The Glitch in the Matrix. Oh, my God.
Oh.
What was her name? I feel so bad that I don't remember her name.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
But if you recall, she had a, you know, remember she had a conversation with her parents, and her parents were like, it was weird as fuck. You know, she was saying all kinds of crazy stuff to her parents. And that was a call. That wasn't just a text. She was actually talking to them, and they felt like the conversation was odd. And then, you know, she just ended up, they found her dead, and they still, to this day, don't even know, you know, what happened to her. It could be a similar situation like this with Gabby Petito. We have no idea. And we probably honestly never will. And here's the thing. Let's say they get the guy and let's say he even cops to it. Could you even believe whatever story he tells?
Right. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we see this from, we know that serial killers, when they caught, they like to brag about the stuff they did. But a lot of times they will just embellish it or just outright just make up.
Yeah, whatever.
Pee Wee Gaskins was famous for just making up.
He just claim any
stuff.
Murder.
Just whatever. And that's one of the reasons the Adam Walsh case came under, was so difficult to investigate, because all these people came out of nowhere and said that they killed Adam Walsh. So, yeah, which is kind of weird that you would want that kind of notoriety, but that's what happened. And when he gets caught, he's going to be in the spotlight, and I think he could just make up. He's going to just make up whatever story he thinks.
I want him to be caught. I don't want him to have like won and killed himself.
Yeah. I mean, he would.
I would. He not wouldn't be have surprised.
Won, but we all want. We want people who commit crimes like this to answer for their crimes.
Yes.
To me, to me, that's just as important as justice.
Right.
You know, because here's another thing I hate. When killers get caught and they go in the courtroom and they don't say shit. They just sit there the whole trial and they're found guilty. Okay, they found guilty, but he or she, they didn't answer for their crimes.
Yeah.
We don't know.
It's that closure. I want closure.
Exactly. I want to know why he did what he did. Even if the reason is stupid, which it will be.
Yeah.
I need you to answer for your crimes. And I think that's what the family needs as well.
Even for the couple, you know, that was found dead. So say it wasn't him. Say it was some fucking weirdo out in the middle of the woods. Like,
I think it was him. I'm sorry. It's. I know that there have been coincidences. Speaking about the Adam Walsh case, you know, there were
a bunch of them.
Well,
yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer was in the mall that day. You know, he claims he didn't do it. So, but there have been situations in which serial killers operate in the same exact area. This, I guess, could be one of those cases, but man, that's such a strange, just, I don't really believe in coincidences that much. First of all, how many people die camping in Moab, Utah? I don't know the number.
I've never even fucking heard of it.
Yeah. Maybe so, but I mean, how often do drifters just go out there and look for people to murder on campsites? I would feel like that would be something we would hear more about, especially in this case. It would have come up. That, hey, you know, people get killed here all the time. Just like when we were investigating LaSan Froon and Chris Kremers, you know, we discovered that, like, people die in Panama, the town that they went missing in Panama. People die there a lot when they go visit.
I'm just trying to think of what his motive would have been for the couple, but maybe they saw him kill Gabby and
maybe
didn't want any witnesses.
Okay.
Well, no, because they were found dead before her FaceTime call with her mom.
Maybe.
Okay.
It was for money. And I know that seems very obvious or cliche, but we just talked about these guys are traveling cross country. He made a flight to Florida and back. They're low on funds. You're essentially stranded. Remember I said Route 66, middle of nowhere. You're out in Moab, Utah. Trust me, middle of nowhere. You got no way to get back home. And you just got in this huge fight. You know, maybe they didn't want to ask their parents for money. And he decides, I'm going to go looking for, I know there are couples here camping like we are, and I'm going to take advantage of that. Get supplies, resources, or money. Because why? Let's go back to the couple that he got a ride from. Why? Why did he get a ride from them?
Yeah.
Was he looking for another couple to kill and decided against it once they told him where they were going?
So this was a lesbian couple that was found murdered in Moab, and there's indications that they were sexually assaulted. And this is after his fight with his girlfriend. It seemed almost like maybe it was like a rage thing. I mean, if he's angry enough to beat the shit out of his girlfriend on the side of the road where
in public,
driving by, maybe he's angry enough. Like, he's not ready to kill her yet, but he wants to fucking kill somebody. And here's this couple that's out in the middle of the woods that nobody's going to know if he fucking kills them.
You know, I'm not letting go of this theory until they find the people that killed that couple. You know, I'm going to stick to that case. I'm really curious about that case. I just find that it is just too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, something is just really, it's really weird timing.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's being so elusive. He knows that when they catch him, man, they're going to pin triple homicide on me, 3 murders. You're not getting out of that, bro. You might be able to weasel out of this one, but
there was a friend that had a theory. She's been following the case pretty closely. And her theory was that Gabby knew that he killed that couple or found out that he killed that couple and then he had to kill her. Yeah, that's like
so, you know, we're just three guys on a podcast, or a guy and two girls, three people on a podcast. I watch a lot of sports, and I watch so much sports. There are times like I'll be watching football, and I'll tell you, I'll like look over my wife and be like, they're gonna run jet sweep left. Like I know that, and I think to myself, if a sports fan knows that, surely the other team knows that as well, and they run the jet sweep and they get stopped for 2 yards. All of a sudden, I say, see, because if I knew, then surely they know. I said that to say, if we're coming up with these conclusions on the podcast, surely the police are coming up with this. Surely the police are saying, you know what? Maybe we do need to go back and investigate that couple that was murdered.
What's rubbing me the wrong way is that I keep Googling why they're like weeding him out of the suspects, but there's no reason why. No one's posted, like, fucking tell
unless
me.
Okay, well,
what I was gonna say, unless we don't know everything, you know, because true. You know, they don't tell right. us everything. So
they may have a really, really good reason of not having him as a suspect for that, and they don't want to divulge details, because as we know, divulging details about a crime can either lead to people falsely claiming credit for the crime, or you know, it could cause the killer to get rid of evidence that they found. So that may be why. I'm actually inclined to believe, I'm going to give the police a little credit here, that he is a person of interest in that other case, but they don't want to mention that because they don't want it to cloud.
Maybe the other.
Right. They don't want it to cloud things.
Also, if he is on the run and they're worried that he's going to harm himself, maybe they want to be like, oh no, we just want you for the one thing, not the other.
Yeah, that's what I said. If he did kill three women, he's not going to be able to get out of that. Maybe he realized that, and that's why he's getting the hell out of there. So, what do you guys think? You guys think he's in Mexico? You guys think he's living off the grid in the swamplands of Florida? Or do you think he offed himself?
I'm going to stick with my original guess of he offed himself. He committed suicide.
I'm 50-50 because he could be that kind of narcissist that wants to take it to the grave with him. Or he could be that kind of narcissist that wants to, like, be in the spotlight after all of this is said and done. He's doing this whole theatric thing because it's like there's a certain type of person that when they make a fucking playlist called self-destruction or whatever the fuck it was, like they want to pout and they want to stomp their feet and they want to get a lot of fucking attention drawn to them. And I feel like this might just be for the theatrics of it. So I'm on the fence on this one.
I don't think he killed himself because he took things, supplies with him. Either
it's okay. possible to live, that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless he took stuff to kill himself with, which is.
What do you need? A fucking knife?
Well, funny side story. When I was in the Air Force and I was stationed at Shaw Air Force Base, I'd been there maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. And I was what they called I was essentially like in charge of the dorm. Air Force, we had like dorms. Like we lived in like small apartments. They didn't even call them barracks. They were dorms. And I was like in charge of the dorm that I lived in. And one day, one morning, I didn't have to go to work. Someone comes banging on my door. And they're like, Aaron Kirk, you gotta come down here. And I'm like, what, dude? He's like, you just got to come see. It was another airman. And I go, there's a guy hanging from the tree. Okay. Right behind our door. Right? So I'm like, oh, shit. So, you know, we call security forces and everything. And a few days later, I found out that a good friend of mine, it was his dorm roommate that had killed himself. And him and his wife had been having troubles. They lived in base housing. And because of these troubles, he had asked if to move out of base housing, but allow his wife to stay in base housing. And the, you know, the Air Force said, yeah, sure. You can just go live in the dorms. So we stayed in the dorms, and my roommate and my friend said, you know, he just left one day and that was it. So security forces grabs my friend, and he said they interrogated him for like 8 hours.
Jeez.
You know, and then they asked him, well, did you see him leave with anything? And my friend goes, like what? Like a rope? Like, no! You know, like if you think, if he, no, he was not carrying a bunch of supplies out, you know, with him. So, and by the way, a very morbid side note, my friend needed blousing straps one day. The next day, blousing straps are these things you put.
Saying, what are those?
There, you put them
tie
up
your blouse with them.
No, yeah,
blouse they're suspenders.
They're straps that you use. You ever seen military guys? Their boots, like in the movies, their pants are tucked into their boots.
Oh, yeah.
That is not real. In
really?
Real life,
in real life, you can't do that.
No, it depends. It depends on the branch and where you are at in the world. But if you're just walking around the base, you better not have your boots, your pants tucked to your boots. Your pants have to stop right above your boots. It's called being bloused. They have to be bloused. So yeah, so you have to use these straps. There are built-in ones in the pants, but they look very, very messy. They're not very well made. So
don't tell me he took the friends.
He took his dead roommate's blousing straps because he said, well, he's not gonna need these anymore. I mean, he needed some blousing straps, right?
It's true.
Yeah,
but...
I mean,
wow. You know what?
So I said that to say that when people go to commit suicide, they usually don't take things with them.
Yeah, that is well.
I think if he took, you know, his backpack and.
And no, plus, he's on the run.
I think he's on the run. Yeah. I think he is living off the grid in the swamps of North Florida because he knows that they're not gonna find him there.
His parents helped him escape.
Hates him. Asshole.
That would be
no, because then we won't.
Yeah, but that would it would be great in a Tales from the Crypt kind of way. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's exactly what happens in Tales from the Crypt. Like right. The killer runs. I'll hide in the swamps. Gators.
Yes.
And then the Crypt Keeper shows up.
As a 90s yes. throwback.
Man, yeah. That would... Actually, you know, if they found, like, in the swamp, his body parts and said he'd be eaten by a gator, that would... I would write a Tales from the Crypt episode based on that and pitch it.
I can just see that little skeleton man.
Yeah, the Crypt Keeper.
The skeleton man.
The skeleton man.
Oh, boy. This is...
Like I said, I can't wait for the documentary. I can't wait for additional details to unfold. This
I'm following this one just because there are so many twists and turns.
Yeah.
I think and this could be one of those things. We talked about this with the Elisa Lam case. Normally, whenever you have a case that has all these like little odd things with it, that's what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the truth is not that exciting.
Yeah.
Like we found out with the Elisa Lam case. It was, you know, people were disappointed to find out.
I tagged you in that video. I swear to God, it's The Shining, like the hotel killed her.
I still think, you guys can go back and listen to we did an Elisa Lam episode. We also talked about the Netflix documentary. I don't know if it's quite as cut and dry as the police make it seem to be, but people were like actually disappointed that it wasn't like aliens or whatever. And I think that's what's going to happen with this case. I think it's going to come out. They got in a fight. He killed her. He went on the run.
It's just like Elisa Lam, I think, why this is also so interesting. This case, because it gives people an opportunity to do their own research.
Yes.
Like I said, the internet sleuths, like people dig into stuff. Somebody found their Spotify. Yeah. And
same with with Luca Magnotta. I mean, that case is famous because the internet did what the police could not.
JonBenet Ramsey, like to this day, I'm still like, I'm going to solve that case.
The brother did and it. I already saw
right, yeah, I agree.
Did that.
So,
over some pineapple, man.
Man, and it's funny because I eat pineapples and cottage cheese for breakfast.
That's another.
So I'm always like, I'm going to add milk one day.
That's another case in which the family
helped cover it up.
Cover it up. But the difference is that, you know, they were both, those are brother and sister we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is another family's daughter. that.
And that also has to be a hard position to be in too, though. Yeah, like, do I turn my child in?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'd like to think that I would make the correct moral decision. But I wouldn't just like call the FBI and be like, hey, y'all come get him right now.
It's the same thing as like when you make your kid take their fucking medicine, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. You talk to him. You say, you know, I'd ask, did you do it? And of course, he's going to say no. But you're a parent. You know when your kids are lying to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you can make that determination. Hey, I think you need to get a lawyer. And we need to talk to the police. Because, okay, like the story you told earlier, Tiff, that guy got 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that's nothing for killing somebody.
Right.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
And this happened, like I said, 2009. I just remember where I was working when it happened. So it was around 2000.
So you tell your kid, look, you get a lawyer. We talk to the police. We try and get a plea bargain. Which, in this case, a plea bargain would work. If you're the prosecution, the evidence is going to be super flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
Plea bargain might be the best thing. And if I'm the parents of Brian Laundrie, then I talk to my son and be like, hey, let's lawyer up and then we'll go talk to the prosecution and see what we can do. You know, and then as an aside, you know, you strike up some deal to say that, you know, they don't investigate you for the murder of this couple in Utah that was only like 50 feet from where you were standing. You know, it's like, that's what I would do as a parent. Or I'd like to think I'd like to do that. Rather than, no, we're just going to be quiet and, you know, forget finding your daughter.
Yeah. I just feel like if you're a parent with the mentality that you would try to do the right thing, then you're probably not ever going to have to be in that situation ever. Like, unless your kid accidentally hits somebody with a fucking car or something. You know? Yeah. It's like, there's just a type of parent that raises this kind of kid. And it's not the kind that says, hey, let's do the right thing and call the cops.
You're absolutely correct in that. I do think that, yeah, if his parents were the kind of people that had that sense of morality, then that would have permeated down to him or trickled down to him, and he wouldn't have committed such a heinous crime.
Now we're in nature versus nurture.
Think about every killer. We all know people that have been abusive and people that have been in abusive relationships, and look at the abuser, look at the families they come from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often do you know somebody that came from like a really, really good family, like a really good moral family, and wasn't abused themselves, and ends up being an abuser?
Nope. I literally don't.
Yeah, I don't. You don't. Everyone that you know, okay, you're like, damn, his parents fucked up.
Yeah.
I think that might be the case here, especially when it comes to people who murder.
Yeah.
You know, there are abusers, and then there are people who take it to the very, very next level.
Well, that's murders. Why I think it makes a difference if he is just, you know, if it was crime of passion,
right, it was
versus,
right.
You know what, I don't care today, I'm gonna go kill these people, I'm gonna kill her, you know, like, I feel like
I think he killed the couple. And if that's the case,
there's too many things that point to he was thinking about it. And that makes me feel like it has a bouquet. It has an abusive aura.
The thing that makes me
feel like he may have the flight back home with the storage unit really sticks out.
That's for me. Fucking weird. Making a playlist for yourself when you're fucking butthurt that you killed your girlfriend, that's weird.
Beating up your girlfriend in broad daylight in a town that you're not even from.
That's weird.
That's fucking weird.
there's a bouquet here, and it's saying that premeditation.
Hitching a ride with a random couple.
Well, that was probably after the fact.
Yeah, but that's also weird.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about things that point to he planned it. Like that.
Yeah. I don't know if it could have been one of those things.
Or
where
he thought about it.
It wasn't premeditated before they went on this trip. Maybe he really did want to go on a trip you know, and try and connect. And then in the middle of the trip, he's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Well, it's close quarters. You're around no one that you know except for the one person. That's if you have a very flimsy relationship to begin with, plus, it's going to fucking fall apart.
This trip was probably very stressful. I've traveled cross country.
That would be stressful for anybody.
Yes, exactly. I've traveled cross country many times. And it's just, it's stressful. You know, you're in a 2012 Ford van that might break down any minute on Route 66. Who knows where they were getting money from? You know, and you're, like you said, you're in close quarters with this person who you already have a flimsy relationship with. You know, and then add to that, you get in a big fight. Someone calls a fight so big that somebody else calls the police on you. Like, oh, look at that. I'm calling 9. They call 911. Like, hey, I just saw a guy beating his girlfriend in the middle of Main Street. The rest of that trip, however long it lasted, could not be
good. That shit was tense.
Although they were on social media, a lot of people said that they were on social media right after that. They posted a YouTube video and they appeared to be very affectionate towards each other. But obviously that's a show. What, are they going to get on YouTube and...
Well, also, yeah. So I can say I've been in a somewhat toxic off and on relationship before. And it can go from, I hate you, I can't stand you, get out my face, to the next day...
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Oh, that's the toxicity.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, it could, you know, I couldn't believe
but
that.
But that doesn't
happened.
Mean that that eradicates the thoughts in, you know, a narcissist abuser's mind that he wants to do what he wants to do with the situation.
He feels like the fact that he would attack her in broad daylight in public. Mm-hmm. Means that he doesn't give a fuck.
No, he has the power.
He feels like he can get away with it because he did get away with it.
Yeah,
you know when the police did show up, they had their little story concocted, and the police just said, "Okay, well,"
because who had the marks on him?
Right.
Yeah.
Because she was obviously defending herself.
Which their stories were both. I was like, this sounds. Really...
I have anxiety, and I have anxiety too. Like that's come on, man.
No, if I'm the cops, I'm like, yeah.
Which I guess if I were in their situation, making them spend the night away from each other was a good call on his part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe do some follow up there. Maybe call and see how everyone is.
I am going to really be curious as to the results of the autopsy.
Yeah. I'm hoping that there's more than just like blunt force trauma or something. I hope we get answers. It's frustrating. It's frustrating now to not have answers. This is why I'm more of a binge watcher and burn through a whole fucking season of something because I get frustrated. I'm like, I want to know right the fuck now. I'll stay up until 4 a.m. to figure it out.
Okay, so Brian Laundrie's family did make a statement yesterday. Gosh, this makes me want to punch somebody in the face. The news about Gabby Petito is heartbreaking. The Laundrie family prays for Gabby and her family. Come on.
Oh, fuck off.
Come on.
But honestly, I know a family like this. And I know a family that, you know, if their son came home without his girlfriend, they'd be like, oh, okay. And then if he was like, oh, yeah. I killed her one night because I got really mad. Then they would be like, hey, let's get you a lawyer right this second and don't ever speak to anyone because we're going to protect you. We don't give a shit if you did anything wrong in this situation. There's just a certain...
Here's some more oddity stuff. When Laundrie left the family's home, apparently, according to the police, that family members went to the reserve in Northport to look for him. And they found his car. And it had a note on it from the police department saying that the car needed to be removed. But the family told the police that they, not Brian, that they left the car there so he could drive back. And then when he didn't come home Thursday morning, they went back. And then that's when they saw the car with the note on it. So Brian Laundrie left his house. He walked to Northport or caught an Uber or whatever. And then his parents are like, you know what? He's going to need a way to get back. So let's go leave the car just in a random place in North, just in a random spot in Northport.
He'll know.
He'll know it's his car.
He'll know where it is.
And then, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. That's the kind of family that this is.
Come on.
They're pieces of shit.
That dude is in, I'm changing, he's in Mexico. He's in Mexico. Hiding. I hope the cartel gets him. And he ends up on, he ends up on one of those cartel videos that Lively used to show. I'll be like, oh, that's him. Yeah, that sounds suspicious as hell. I'm almost convinced that they know that he did it.
Oh, 1,000% no. Because honestly, if your kid comes home without their significant other that lives there, and they were planning to take a, 10-month-long trip.
In her car. The van belonged to her.
Yeah.
So.
Like, the first thing out of your fucking mouth is going to be, where's Gabby?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I dropped her off. She lets you keep the car? Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of.
Yeah. And then her parents are asking where she is. Like, no, they fucking know.
Where's Stan in all this? What does he think? Has anybody reached out to Stan? Gosh. Poor Stan.
Stan, what did you need?
Yeah. Poor Stan. I hate that he got dragged into this with a weird text message. Just too much weird stuff. Just too much weird stuff. A very, very odd case. I hope that... You know, I was hoping a few days ago, I was hoping they'd find her alive, but I knew, and I think most people knew, that that would not be the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday they found what they believe to be her body. It probably is. So, you know, I hope that he answers for his crimes, whoever the killer might be. I'm gonna give him a little bit of the benefit, just a tiny bit of benefit of the doubt that maybe he didn't do it.
I'm not. I will not. I refuse.
I would be surprised. I mean, here's the truth. We'll never really know. The only people that really know what happened is him and Gabby. The only two people that know 100% the truth about what happened on that trip. And even if he's found guilty, I don't think that that will give us the entire story, the entire truth of what happened. I don't think you can believe anything that Brian Laundrie says afterwards. If he's found guilty or they drop him as a person of interest, I don't think he'll ever speak about it again because he'd be stupid to do so. And if he's found guilty and he speaks on it, I don't think that he would be reliable.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll just never know what happened. I do hope that the autopsy, uncovers some clues about what may have happened. It's amazing, you know, what they can find out from an autopsy. Like, it's just really amazing how forensic pathologists can break down exactly what happened based on stuff that we would think is just totally irrelevant. So, and that's where we're at.
So if you ever get a text from my phone that says, "Can you help Joe?" I keep getting his missed calls.
Who the fuck is Joe? Then I'm like, oh my God, this is not Tiffany. All right. I think we've covered about everything there is left to cover
on
here. My theory is that I'm not going to go so far as to say that it was premeditated from the start. I'm not too certain that that is the case. But I do think that somewhere along the trip, he had decided he was going to kill her either before he flew back to Florida or after. And I think that he killed those two women in Utah. I'm sorry. It's just, I can't let that coincidence slide. I just find it too hard to believe that an area that he was in, at the same time that he was in that area, two people died, and then he leaves that area. And then the person, his traveling companion, also dies.
It's really weird.
I don't believe that. And I also believe that he's not in the country. I mean, there isn't anything to prevent him from leaving the country. He's not under arrest, so therefore he wasn't on bail. In fact, authorities wouldn't even be in their jurisdiction. So a lot of people think that Mexico is a non-extradition country. That is not true. Mexico can extradite you back to the United States if you committed some capital offense of some sort, like murder or rape. So if they felt like it, you know, that he was a fugitive from the law, then the feds could certainly go down and get him. And the thing is, like I said, he hasn't been charged or arrested or anything of the sort. So I don't know if they would even do that.
So I just Googled where Northport, Florida is. And it's right. I literally, as a teenager, have been in this area multiple times. And I know exactly where this is. It is by Port Charlotte, South Venice, and Inglewood on the Gulf of Mexico. A very short trip across.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
This motherfucker walked into Mexico.
Like Jesus.
He did. Hey, it's fairly easy to walk into Mexico. Walking out of Mexico in the United States is much, much, much harder. Those of you who have ever been to any of the border towns like Tijuana or Juarez, it's a little
different. Oh, it's super easy to get.
Yeah, it's a little different than it used to be. But I remember we used to, you pay 35 cents and then just let you.
Oh, they don't even
do country.
That anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Yeah. It used to be, take a fucking Uber and then you're
there. Yeah, you ride across the border. Yeah, we used to park in El Paso and you walk up to the border and there's a guy in a booth, you give him 35 cents and you're in Mexico. Ta-da!
No, I don't know post-COVID what it looks like.
Yeah.
But before COVID, you could just, coming back from Mexico, it's a whole fucking thing. But going into Mexico, you just,
he probably went to through down to Louisiana, down to Texas, into Mexico, or he took a raft.
I mean, he could. I don't know. I've never been to the port in Port Charlotte necessarily, or like that area of Inglewood. I don't know what the commercial boating situation is.
What if this motherfucker's on a boat in the
That's
middle
what
of the Gulf
like,
of Mexico?
He's on a fucking boat.
But then Hurricane Ida killed him. It'd be like another Tales from the Crypt episode. The killer couldn't get away. Hurricane Ida got him. Well, okay. Hopefully we get a real life Tales from the Crypt ending. No, I don't want a Tales from the Crypt ending. I want this guy caught and standing in front of Gabby Petito's family. And one thing I love to see is, you ever see like when they let the family in the courtroom and they just let them say whatever they want to the killer?
I like it when they beat the shit out of the guy.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too. They don't really allow that too much.
No.
But I love when the family gets to vent to the killer.
We'll have to do a part two to this and revisit it.
Oh yeah, we definitely will. We'll stay abreast of this. Listeners, if you guys like find out some shit, let us know. And we'll get right on it. But hopefully you enjoyed this comeback episode for us and our ridiculous ass theories about what happened.
And alligators and
We come up with some outlandish stuff, but sometimes we hit it on the nail. I still wonder about Grace Walden Stevens. If you guys have not listened to that episode, go back and listen to what happened to Grace Walden Stevens, and then go listen to the Jonestown episode and tie all that in together. Good stuff. No conspiracies here, though. This guy is a sleazeball, and I hope they catch him. So. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight on Disquietude. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, Disquietude Stories. Disquietude, one word, space, stories. If you have a story yourself you'd like to tell us, and it could be about anything, then just send it to us at disquietude000@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page, Disquietude, our Instagram, Disquietude Pod. You can hit us up on any of those platforms. Or you can go to our website, www.disquietude.net. You can go there. You can contact us there. Just any of those platforms. We'll definitely answer any questions that you have. And if you share a story with us, we'll share it with the world. So we will be back next week. We're not going to go off schedule again. We are vaccinated. I'm not going to tell you guys to get vaccinated because that's a personal decision, but I will say keep your ass at home.
Well, I mean, if you want big balls, then please go get
vaccinated. Oh, gosh. That's true. Yeah. You want big balls, then do that. I'm still waiting on mine to come in. You know, my second vax shot, and it's taking forever for them to come in. So, but more importantly, you guys just please be safe. Be nice to each other. Be kind. Be courteous to each other. Be aware of other people and be safe. So hopefully you hear our lovely voices again next week. You guys take care.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, this is Kaiza with a bit of postscript for this episode. At the time of recording this episode, the body of Gabby had been found. However, it had not been confirmed to be hers yet. And the whereabouts of Brian Laundry were still unknown at that time. However, the very next day, as I'm editing this episode, I got two pieces of news. One, that they had confirmed that was the body of Gabby, and Brian Laundry was brought into protective custody near Venice, Florida. So, two interesting revelations. I can only hope that he is brought to justice if he is indeed guilty. Thanks for listening, and check us out next week.